And on Triple J with the Doctor, the feature album this week is The Ending Is Just the Beginning, Repeating, the sixth album by The Living End. Hello, Chris. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Doc.
G'day, mate.
What's up, Doc?
What's up? How was your weekend?
We rehearsed.
We did, actually.
Yeah. Saturday and Sunday.
Whoa.
We are diligent, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just starting to get back into it now, and we're playing shows, and yeah, I sound about as husky as you. It's quite... you sound a bit like Demi Moore, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Mm. Yeah,
and you look a bit like Patrick Swayze, so...
Look at that. So, we were stuck in a little rehearsal room, a little concrete box all of the weekend, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's good for us. Now, but your next show is Splendor, isn't it? Is a show before that?
Yeah, we're doing an album launch tomorrow night.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we're kind of getting ready for that. We plan to play the whole new record in its entirety. And
sweet.
Yeah, send that little baby off.
Let me just remind everyone of what we're talking about, of course. The very first song we heard was the album's title track. The ending is just the beginning, repeating. The ending is just the beginning, repeating. Everything goes away but comes back someday. And can I firstly thank you, dudes? I want to thank you for finally finding a new melody to go with Whoa. Because for too long, musicians have rested on their laurels just with like, whoa. But I heard that and went, oh, yeah.
Oh, you're welcome, yeah.
No one ever thought of that one.
Yeah, well, we were always searching for a lyric, but, nothing was going to fit as well as a whoa. And now I can hear the spaghetti western thing big time now. Isn't that weird? I never thought that when writing the tune at all.
Have people been accusing you of ripping on Ennio Morricone or something?
Yeah, bring back Bonanza.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no. That's our heritage, isn't it? The gallop.
The gallop, yeah, absolutely it is.
Get on that horse.
We should talk about the controversy of this wonderfully complex and contradictory album title, The Ending Is Just the Beginning, Repeating.
You know, it was almost so long and kind of silly that we went, yes, we should do that, because we wouldn't normally ever go with an album title like that. Probably maximises airtime, I suppose. But people get so hung up on it, you know. Yeah. Oh, it's too long. And it's like, what does it really matter?
Exactly. Well, and you say that the title will make more sense once you hear the record. Now, I've been listening to the record all weekend. How do you
think? Doesn't make any more sense, does it?
Except that song's at the end of the album. That's about it, I think.
Well, you know, I feel that there's somewhat of a thread that follows through the record. The fact that it starts with a song called In the Morning, you know, I feel like... at the age that we're at, there was, particularly within the writing of this record and the whole of last year, there was this big question mark around the whole making of this record. Like, where do we go from here? What does it all mean? What have we done? What are we going to do? And I think that the album really addresses that within a bunch of the songs. And the fact that it ends with the ending is just the beginning repeating. It's like this life cycle kind of cyclical effect. So if I've confused you anymore, I apologize. But yeah, we sort of feel like it really summed up the content within the record and what a lot of the lyrics and stuff are saying, that, you know, things do change, things do end, but doesn't necessarily mean that it's over.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing I wish is that because of the title of the song, you'd done something like this. The ending is just the beginning. The ending is just the... Because if you're going to do a song about a never-ending loop...
That should have been the whole tune.
A secret track. It's not too late.
Yeah.
Apart from the mad guitar work and the mad drum work and, yes, the mad upright bass work, is it all upright bass that Scott plays on this album?
Yeah, he can't play anything else. You know that.
The only time he's ever played electric bass really on stage is when he filled in for Strung Out on the Warped Tour one time as a bass player.
Wow.
And, it was... hysterical.
Sweet.
I don't know who looks more uncomfortable, him or the band.
Yeah. But there is like this mad, I mean, you've always kind of focused on rock and roll, but there's a certain Oz rock feel through all these things. I mean, Heatwave, there's got a bit of a twist of Metallica in the main riff as well, sort of a little bit of a nod to Master of Puppets. But there is, when you guys write songs, what do you think about? Like, what's the sort of process?
That one was the riff, you know? Chris had that riff and we just sort of got really excited about it. Anyone plays that riff and you're going to get excited. So we just get right off on rock and roll music, and we love Aussie rock, and comes from Midnight Oil and the Hoodoo Gurus and all those bands that have paved the way for us, I suppose.
For me, it's just got to be great. It doesn't matter what kind of song I'm trying to write. It's just got to be like, I don't know, I've just got to feel like this is this is it. And if it's not quite hitting it or it's falling short or whatever, we just kind of keep going and going until we feel like we've got it. You just have to get a feeling from it. Whatever that feeling is, you just know when it's right. And with that one, it's pretty much just balls to the wall kind of rock and roll. You know, there's not a heap of emotion and stuff in there. The emotion is just in the sweating.
Blisters. The blisters on the fingers, exactly, yeah. Right. Is this why you sort of had 40 songs for the album and then culled them down because some just didn't quite get there? Or is that a standard thing?
I've always sort of tended to write more than less, and you just never know what's going to work and what's not. And we ended up with so many ideas, and it'd be great to be able to write just 12 songs, bang, done. But it just doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
And I guess congratulations, especially to you, Chris, because you were, of you two, the only one in the band, for getting the self-titled record, you know, so high up in the countdown for the hottest 100 Australian albums of all time.
Thank you to everyone who voted. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. We hadn't done that much recording prior to then. We'd had two EPs or something, I think. So to me, you know, it kind of sounds like that. It sounds very like we're trying to figure out what we're doing and where we're going. I guess it's a snapshot of a band trying to play as fast and aggressive and as energetic as they possibly can, and that's what you should be on your first record. You shouldn't be thinking about it other than just capturing the live set.
Exactly right. But do you think sort of six albums in now, you have a better idea of where the living end is going?
Oh, I'd like to think that I do, but I probably don't, you know. It's just, there were songs for this record that I absolutely loved that were definites for me that had to be on the record that didn't make it, you know. And so I don't think you ever really know. There's always a bit of the unknown, I suppose.
No, the other experiment is because with the ending is just the beginning, repeating the song. I heard when you were talking to Tom and Alex, you collaborated with Craig Finn from the Hold Steady, one of the best, one of America's greatest storytellers, I reckon.
Yep.
And I guess apart from the one of your mates playing keyboards, he's the only other real collaboration. Although, Andy, there's a bit of a family business happening on the song Away From The City.
Yeah, what an honour to have the old man say a few lines. It was pretty cool. I don't think he's heard it yet, but I'm sure he's going to quietly be fairly excited and tell a few people.
If he's listening right now, I might just chuck it. There it is.
Thousands of people are leaving the city.
There you go, Mr. Strachan. That's nice.
It's good on you, John.
I reckon he might have a future in Today Tonight.
Oh, do you think? Yeah. Oh, he's got the voice for it.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Nice. And also on the album, you get a little bit Pat Benatar on the song United.
Ooh, steady on.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, from Oz rock to amazing American stadium rock.
I know.
I mean,
I know,
she said it was a battlefield. You went there. You're in there. Yeah, you're on
I went
battlefield.
There. I'm not tiptoeing around the battlefield. No. It was the thing about this record for us. I don't know whether you can hear it or anyone else, but early on we found ourselves thinking, boy, there's a real 80s kind of vibe going on in some of these tunes, and that could be disastrous for us. But then we just sort of thought, well, it's only natural that it's going to kind of rear its ugly head at some point, because that's the era of music that we grew up on. Mm. And listening to bands like Mondo Rock and
Oz Crawl, because I heard a bit of Oz Crawl.
Well, of course, yeah. Pat Benatar.
I play in a covers band, we do a Pat Benatar song, it tears the house down, it's always a winner. But on the subject of love, it is Battlefield of Love, the lyrics on the song United. It is Love Week on Triple J. Now, we could get all, you know, schmaltzy and stuff, but is there something in particular that you guys just love at the moment, or something that you've just always loved? Doesn't have to be tactile, or it could just be surreal, whatever.
Well, I love a random hello.
Oh, yeah.
From a stranger. I was actually at the beach the other day and with my daughter, and this old man walked past. He gave us a really nice good morning and how are you and isn't it a lovely day, and I just thought, that's great. I wouldn't know the last time I did that to a stranger.
Yeah, it
probably
happen.
Never will.
Doesn't happen.
I probably never will do it.
Well, you should do it.
But some people
get out there today.
You know, I mean, he walked away feeling like, you know, great.
Yeah,
I walked away feeling absolutely fantastic and just. And I love that, Lindsay.
Thanks, man. That's a really nice thing. And yourself, Andy, what do you reckon?
Oh, look, Lindsay, I love a lot of things.
Yes.
I love Chris. He's a bloody great bloke. I love my dog. I love my daughter. But I love where I live, the little coastal town in which I reside. It's one of my favourite places in the world. I look forward to going home every day.
Is that where they filmed Round the Twist?
Round the Twist.
Or Pete's Dragon? That's what I'm picturing.
I am really? Seeing, yeah. I'm seeing that lighthouse has just come over the crest of the hill. And yep. Then Andy in the window in the lighthouse.
Yeah, that's right.
Just smoking a pipe and looking wistfully out to sea.
That's it. A little glass of rum.
That's beautiful.
No harm done.
And you know what we didn't mention was a very big gig you're going to be playing, besides Splendour in the Grass.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing at a high school.
That's
it,
man.
Oh, we are too, yeah.
I reprimanded myself for forgetting in that last bracket. Yeah, Unearth High, which is going to be great. Now, have you played many high schools? besides your own as you were growing up?
Yeah, we've done a few, actually. We did go back and play at our high school in the canteen a couple of years after we left there.
Nice.
Which was very surreal.
And the people that laughed at you for playing sort of, you know, hair slick back rockabilly at school, were they there then going, whoa, that's pretty good?
No, because they'd left
graduated.
As well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Only the ones that got kept down were still there. Kept back. And we played Rosebud High School one time for recovery. That was weird. Yeah. But, yeah, we haven't probably done enough high school gigs, so I'm expecting utter madness.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Well, the Art versus Science broke the basketball gym floor, so there's your benchmark.
That's what we've got to achieve.
Yeah, all right. Your instruments are heavier. Plus. Added weight is what I'm trying to say.
Of course, that's right.
Yeah, so that's good.
Molotov cocktails, welcome. I shouldn't have said that.
Let's not say that to high school kids because they're very impressionable. But they've only got till this Sunday, actually, to finish their music and get it into triplejunearth.com. So it's exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah. It's very exciting.
Thanks for doing that for us.
Looking forward to seeing who's going to play with us.
I'm pretty sure it'll be pretty good if the previous years are anything to go by. In fact, you're on tour with Hunting Grounds, who were found through Unearth High. So that's good.
Hunting Grounds and King Cannons.
Oh, such a good band. King Cannons as well. Awesome.
Yep.
All right, Andy and Chris from The Living End, thanks heaps for coming into Triple J. And we'll see you at the Unearthed High School, whatever that may be, and at Splendor in the Grass. Have a ball. Thanks heaps.
Thank you, Doctor.
Cheers.
Look after that throat.